Trib Live Radio presents Off-Road Politics from Main Street to the Beltway with Selena Zito, reporter at the Pittsburgh Trib. Trib Total Media, see what's next. Now, here's your host, Selena Zito.
Hi, this is Selena Zito. Welcome back to Off-Road Politics. I'm a reporter and columnist with the Pittsburgh Tribune Review. And on the show with us today is General Michael Hayden. General Hayden is a native Yinzer. He's a Pittsburgher. He grew up on Pittsburgh's north side, attended North Catholic High School, graduated from Duquesne University with a degree in history and a master's in modern American history. He is a four-star general, right? Do I have that right?
Yep,
how did I
right.
not remember that? Yep. Before becoming director of the CIA, you were the principal deputy director of the National Intelligence and the highest-ranking intelligence officer in the armed forces. You also served as director of the CIA, which is the first time I actually got to interview you at Langley in, is that Maryland or Virginia? I can't even remember. It was so...
In Langley was in Virginia, and prior to that, Selena, I was director of NSA, which is in Maryland.
There you go. I knew I was got a little bit of... confused there for a second. So we want to get to two important things. First of all, what is going on in Egypt? There was a Russian airplane that crashed. It was on Halloween. A metro jet over the Sinai Peninsula in Egypt. It killed all 224 passengers on board as well as the crew, and it was it immediately became a suspect circumstance. The flight, which was bound for St. Petersburg, took off from the beach destination of... I'm not going to pronounce it right. What is that?
It's Sharm el-Sheikh.
Yeah. And that's an area that has been typically considered sort of a safe area, correct?
It has, although it's embedded, Selena, in the Sinai Peninsula, where the Egyptians have been having a fairly serious terrorist problem for some time now that's been exacerbated, been made worse by the affiliation of what had long been local terrorist groups, mostly Bedouins. They've now affiliated themselves with ISIS, and so they are trying to up their game, and this may be the latest example of it.
So kind of explain... You just did a little bit. Explain what has been going on in Egypt. Egypt has been unsettled since the Arab Spring, where they had toppled Mubarak.
Right, that's right.
And yeah. Then they had special elections. They toppled the next guy. They didn't call it a coup. Was it a coup? What's going? Give the listeners a sort of understanding of what's going on in Egypt, which has historically been a very good ally of the United States.
It has. It's certainly since 1973. Prior to that, they're kind of playing on the other side of the ball, Selena. They were closely aligned with the Soviet Union, but certainly since 73. And that's a long time in international affairs. Look, Mubarak was our friend. Mubarak actually did very good things as a bridge between the Palestinians and us and the Israelis. But he also ruled as an autocrat.
Right.
And there was very little we could say or do that would make him lighten his hand on the Egyptian political structure. You know, Selena, in one of my last trips as director, I was actually in Cairo and was asked to stay on for an extra day to meet with Mubarak. And I went out to his palace on a Friday morning, and he yelled at me for over an hour about how we Americans didn't understand what was going on there, and President Bush pushing his freedom agenda was very unwise, and he knew the situation, and he had things under control. Well, actually, he didn't. Hmm. And we actually had it right, and he had it wrong. And the thing exploded on him a few years ago in Tahrir Square. He was overthrown. He was replaced by, frankly, the only organized political group in the country at that time, right, which was the Muslim Brotherhood.
Yeah.
And there were elections. They were better organized. Better organization matters as much in Egyptian as it does in Allegheny County elections.
Yep.
And they carried the day. They didn't rule very well. And about a year later, there was a coup. Under a general al-Sisi, it was a coup with great popular support, though, Selena. So,
right.
You know, it's kind of a mix of things. El-Sisi becomes the president. He immediately begins to make war in a way that would make you and me uncomfortable with the political opposition. Pretty much paints all political opposition as Islamist terrorists. Goes after the Muslim Brotherhood and goes after this other group that was out there on the Sinai Peninsula, made up largely of Bedouins, not ethnically Egyptian, long kind of forgotten by the Egyptian government, ignored. They have historic grievances. And he makes war on them as well, since they are also Islamist. And then, as I said a few minutes ago, these guys then lash up with ISIS in Iraq and Syria, get more energy, kind of get a global brand for their movement. And they've actually been carrying out a series of attacks, not just in the Sinai, but in Egypt proper. And I think smart money now says, Selena, these are the guys who carried out the attack on the Russian airliner. So here we are now.
You know, this region has always been unsettled. Sometimes more so than others. I would argue in my lifetime, this is probably one of the most unsettled span of history, where there is uncertainty across the bow. And General Sisi, we should note, also attended the Army War College, not far from here, in Carlisle.
Yeah.
He cheered on the Steelers in the 2006 Super Bowl against the Seahawks. I believe that was 2006.
No, that's exactly right. He was at Carlisle, you know, at the Army War College. We have a lot of Allied officers who come. The story goes that, you know, what routinely happens on Super Bowl Sunday is that the American officers obviously have their Super Bowl parties, always invite the Allied officers in, and there he was watching the Steelers in the Super Bowl in housing there in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. All true. And by the way, you know, I've just been critical of Sisi, but around New Year's this year, Selena, he went to Al-Azhar University, which is traditionally the seat of Sunni Islam theology. And he gave a remarkable speech, one you and I would applaud. He wagged his fingers at the theological faculty there, saying, you guys better get your act together.
Yeah.
You got these crazy people out there pretending they're doing something in the name of Islam, and you better straighten them out because this is not true Islam. And that's something that we can only apply.
Right.
But on the political side, he has been authoritarian. I mean, look, Selena, you don't get political stability if the penalty for losing an election is the death penalty. And that, unfortunately, is kind of what Egypt's been like for the last several years.
Right. As we watch all of this play out, a new sort of emerge. Now, Russia has always been involved in the Middle East in one way or another, usually unsuccessfully. But they are emerging lately as I don't know if the correct word is trying, but inserting themselves as a power broker. What are your thoughts about that? And what are your thoughts about the role that the United States is currently playing in the Middle East?
Yeah, and here's the thing, I'm probably betraying some of my foreign policy prejudices.
That's okay.
I actually think we've not been as involved as we should have been in trying to shape. We cannot determine events, but we've actually been a bit AWOL even in trying to shape events in the Eastern Mediterranean, in the Levant, Syria, Iraq, in that region. And it's gone from bad to worse. We've kind of left some vacancies on stage that the Russians have now moved into. Now look, President Obama is right. You know, if I'm giving advice to President Putin, I'm saying, hey, Vlad, this is a bad idea. You really don't want to go do this. But the fact that it's a bad idea for the Russians, Selena, doesn't mean that it's a good idea for us. And unfortunately, this is going to make settling this issue even more difficult for us now that the Russians have become involved. It's not good news for them, but it doesn't help us at all either. It just makes a complicated situation even worse.
Now, yesterday we saw Israel's Prime Minister, I think yesterday or 2 days ago, come and visit with President Obama in the White House. It's the first time that the two of them, at least on stage, showed a more, I'm not quite sure what the word is. It was still kind of awkward, but at least it appeared as though they were breaking bread. The relationship has been strained between the two of them. Both of them have strong personalities and have strong ideas in which direction their country should go. And most of this strain has centered on the Iran deal. What are your? I know that you were not thrilled about it going into this. What are your thoughts post the deal being put in place by the president?
Yeah, and as you suggest, Selena, I've got issues with the deal. But you know, when I say that, I also point out that folks like me from the Bush administration left a pretty ugly baby for these guys. All right.
Right.
The Iranian situation was very difficult. If we'd had a better idea, we'd have done it. And so I kind of meter my criticism of the current deal with the reality that, you know, you didn't have a whole lot of good options here. But I could fill all the space left between us this morning with my complaints about the deal. But the fact is, we've got a deal. And now we need to deal with the post-comprehensive agreement world. I've got a good friend, Selena, in Israel, Amos Yaglin. Amos was the head of the Israeli Defense Forces Intelligence Services while I was in CIA. And Amos has been quite public, saying, whatever you think about the deal, get over it. We now have the deal. Israel shouldn't be burning any more political capital in the United States by continuing to complain about the deal. Now we've got to deal with the world as it is today.
Right.
And frankly, I think that's good advice for people like me in America. And I think it's really good advice for the Israeli prime minister. And I think what we saw here in the meeting between the prime minister and the president was Netanyahu kind of living out that storyline.
Yeah.
All right, we didn't like it, but let's get on with it now.
Yeah, I think it was a wise move. I think that that most Americans, whatever side they fell on, how they felt about this deal, were relieved to see the first sort of move made, and because that has always been an important and special relationship, no matter what your politics are.
Right, that's right. And to be fair, although the relationship between the president and the prime minister were absolutely poisonous, at the level of permanent government, Selena, the relationship between Israel and the United States has remained pretty strong and healthy.
Right. Absolutely. All right. I know you're short on time. Let's get to another very important talk, the discussion. The Steelers will renew their rivalry with the Browns on Sunday afternoon, a game I do believe that you will be attending. Is that right?
Yes, I will.
I've seen General Hayden at games. He gets pretty festooned up. Face painting,
yeah.
Shirt. You got the whole thing going on, right?
Oh, you bet. And my wife, who's not a native Pittsburgher, is, you know, has all the energy, all the zeal of a convert. So she'll be with me there, too.
Absolutely. That's wonderful. The last time these two teams met, the Browns crushed the Steelers 31-10. Things have changed somewhat dramatically for both teams. The Browns are basically in a free-for-all, this season. And the Steelers have had to deal with injuries, but they still remain a possibility for the playoffs. Give me some of your thoughts about what you're expecting in this game.
Well, yeah, to just kind of, you know, put a footnote on the history you just mentioned, that 31-10 game, the Steelers had seven turnovers.
Ugh.
So I don't expect history to repeat itself on Sunday.
My heart hurts one. just hearing the seven turnovers. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead.
And then, you know, if the season ended tonight, Selena, we would be in the playoffs as a wild card.
Yeah.
So as challenging as the injuries have been, we're still in a pretty good position. We control our destiny. So that's the second point. Third point is I'm really happy to go up and now be witness to the Landry Jones era of they were quarterbacking, with the strong hope that that era lasts this week and through the bye weekend, and we get back to the Ben Roethlisberger era as quickly as possible. but you know, Landry's looked pretty good. When he came in and replaced the previous quarterback, he looked more comfortable in the offense than Michael Vick did.
Yeah,
and the offense looked more comfortable with him.
I agree with you. So I'm
good to go. I'm feeling pretty good about the weekend. I think he can manage the game plan. The defense has been a bit of a pleasant surprise, hasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And how about Antonio Brown? I mean, he's ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, and we've got so many offensive weapons, even with the injuries, even with the players we've lost. And so, I'm still hanging in there. My prediction for this season was, I think it's going to be really interesting. and that held true.
Well, you got any prediction for the game on Sunday?
Yeah, I'm actually going up there with the expectation that the Steelers win. Not a blowout, but I do expect them to establish some control. Then take advantage of that bye week to get more healthy before they've got to go to the West Coast and start the second half of the season against the Seahawks.
Well, when you go to that game on Sunday, do you actually walk on the street named after you? Because I think that's so cool.
I do. The only thing I don't get to do, that I really want to do, Selena, is park on the street.
That would be glorious. Well, if you still lived where you grew up, you would have been opened up your front door and walked right into it, right?
You realize that after they built Three Rivers and my family moved just a few blocks away, my brother made a buck or two by offering a parking spot in front of our house for people going to Steelers and Pirates games.
That is pure Northside, man.
You bet. Don't you dare move that chair out of that parking spot unless you're willing to pay, sir.
Exactly. General Michael Hayden, thank you so much for joining us on Off-Road Politics. I look forward to having you again. And go Steelers, sir.
Go Steelers. Thanks, Selena.
Thanks, sir. Bye-bye.